into verse number 59. Now he comes back to Arjuna's problem. Because remember Arjuna in the second chapter, of course we don't remember, but he did in the second chapter, he sat down in this chariot and he said, I won't fight. Why? Because in front of me are all my gurus and my grandfather and my cousins and my uncles. How can I fight? I and my. You know, it was this. My, if I fight, what will happen? My cousin, my brother, my. So this whole Gita says that go beyond I and my to go what is your duty. Because Arjuna was faced with a Duryodhana, an evil king, and his 100 brothers, 99 brothers, a total 100 Kauravas, who were full of evil. And the choice was, who is going to rule India? Are the 5 Pandavas who were good are going to be the ruling, or the 100 Kauravas who were evil? And if the ruler is evil, obviously, you know, like we see in so many countries, if the president and the prime minister are corrupt, then everybody is corrupt and there's freedom. You know, if the president is corrupt, then, you know, ministers and then secretaries, and then the whole culture becomes corrupt. So that's what he told him. Your battle is not individual. It's not you. It is you are fighting for a higher cause. That is the purpose. That was the whole purpose. So, but now he comes back to his problem. Remember in the second chapter, he said, I won't fight. He said, okay, then what will happen if you decide not to fight? Okay, you said you won't fight, fine. If you decide not to fight, what will happen? So he says in verse number 59, Yadahankaram ashritya nayotsya iti manyase mithyaisha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshyati. So ahankara, ego. So ego, we will talk about what is ego. So ashritya, taking refuge in your ego, na yotse, I shall not fight. Iti manyase, that's what you're thinking, I shall not fight. Okay, if you, that's what you decide, but mithya esha, this vyavasaya, this decision of yours is false. Why? Prakriti tvam niyokshati. Prakriti will compel you to act. So, as we said, Arjuna said, I'm not going to fight. Okay, you decide you're not going to fight. Why? Because you have taken a wrong decision based on ego. Because I am fighting my battle against... No, it's not, nothing, it has nothing to do with you. It is the cause. It is like a soldier, you know, once he has joined the army, then if he says, I'm not going to fight, then that is wrong. Because once you have joined the army, you have been trained as a soldier, you have the country has supported you, fed you, given you a salary all these years, and then suddenly at the time of battle, you say, I shall not fight. No, because that is your duty and you are fighting for the country. Suppose the country is attacked by a, you know, neighbor or by invader, or there is the country's future is at stake. You are fighting not for I or me, but you are fighting for the country, or you are fighting for a good cause, for the benefit of all. So ego is I and my. That is ego. So, of course, there are, ego has many meanings. Some people say he is very egotistical, you know, where he is very arrogant. That's not the meaning. When in Vedanta, when we say the word ego, it is the understanding that it is I and my, that is ego. And I and my separate from his and hers and separate from the Lord. So, when I am separate from the Lord and separate from everybody else, that is the birth of the ego. The little individual, the little I, where I just think of myself as this isolated being, but the Upanishad tell us we are all connected, we are all one. Everybody is that same Om, the same consciousness, the same Lord in every one of us. That is our higher nature, that is our essential nature. So I am not this little individual, but I am a divine being who is occupying this earth, as a representative of the Lord. So if you say because of your ego that I will not fight, prakriti tvam niyokshati. That's why this thinking of yours is wrong, because prakriti will force you. What do you mean by prakriti will force you? He said, okay, I understand. You decide. You told me you want to go to the forest and become a sadhu and put on orange clothes and meditate. He says, you have so many desires yet. You have so much. You are a soldier. But temporarily you are disillusioned. And when you go there, you know, after 2, 3, 4 days, you'll say, I shouldn't have run away from that battle. That evil Duryodhana, I should have killed him. I had the ability, I had the army behind me. I am the world's best archer. And I could have, and why did I do that? Oh, then you will regret. And then people, in the second chapter, you will say, people will laugh at you. You know, look at that great Arjuna. When the time came for war, he ran away. He got scared. And then you will be sitting there and thinking, all the world is laughing at me. And then you should have said, and then what will happen? You will get angry. You know, that evil Duryodhana, he insulted my wife. He took away my kingdom. He treated me bad for 13 years. And so what will happen? Now the war is already, you have run away. You can't come back and fight. So you will take your sword and destroy all the trees. In your anger, he said, you will be an ecological disaster. You know, I want to save you from that. I do not want the forest to be destroyed. Here you have these evil people who need to be taken care of. But why? Because you still have those warlike tendencies. See, if you are a very quiet, contemplative individual and you want to go to the forest and meditate, it would be very good. And later on, Arjuna did. In fact, the Pandavas in their later years did that. They gave up their kingdom and they went to the forest to meditate. But you have to be mentally ready. If you do something that you are not mentally ready for, that's why even Sanjay was asking me about, you know, the nature. One time he asked me, and the nature is what? Suppose a person is, has a desire to be a artist, but you force him into medicine, he will be very miserable because that's not his nature. Similarly, a person who still has a lot of passion, a lot of anger, a lot of greed and all, and you force him to become a monk or to join the church, he'll be a failure. He won't do well. So similarly, he says, you are not ready at this moment to go to the forest and meditate. So exhaust your vasanas by doing unselfish work, doing work dedicated to the Lord, doing work for the betterment of society. So when you do activities without I and my, as a servant of the Lord, doing his work, for the benefit of society, where I don't even get anything back. I don't even expect anything. I don't even expect thanks. I do it because it is his word. I do it for the benefit of society without asking anything in return, even without asking praise. Then that work is called karma yoga, and that will purify your mind, will reduce your vasanas. And with a pure mind, then you can sit and meditate. Once you have reduced your selfishness, reduced your vasanas, but at this moment, your prakriti is geared towards, because you're a soldier, you were born, you're a kshatriya, you are not ready. So do what is the right thing in your situation, in your circumstances, mentally at this moment. You may change the environment, but you are not going to change your nature. Like a person is a thief, he's a crook, right? So he cheats people in LA. He's cheating people, doing the Ponzi schemes and getting money and all. And suddenly he finds out that, you know, people are investigating. So what does he do? He moves. He moves to New York, as far away as he can. Now he has changed his environment. He has not changed his nature. If he's a crook or a cheat, he will be a crook or a cheat. He has not suddenly reformed and become a saint. No, he's still a dishonest person. So changing the environment will not change the person. He will start again there. He will start some new scheme, some new project. So that's what he's telling Arjuna, that you are changing the environment from the battlefield. You want to go to the forest, but your mental makeup has not changed. And certain things you can't stop. What my nature is, what my prarabdha is, what my karmas are, you can slowly modify over the time as you do unselfish work, as you think more about the Lord, as you read, as you meditate. It will happen. It will happen gradually. So do not think that by suddenly giving up and going to the forest, you will know, because it is a mithya. This thinking of yours is wrong. It is a delusion. Prakriti tvam niyokshati. Prakriti will compel you. So you have a wonderful opportunity at this time to exhaust your vasanas, to serve the world, to remove evil from the world. And you will be known forever in history as the great Arjuna who removed the evil Duryodhana and empire. So that is an opportunity. That's why again in the second chapter he says it's very rare that people get an opportunity like that, where they get an opportunity to serve so many people. So take advantage of that and don't run away. So these are the three verses. Well, first of all, he says, work for me, mentally surrender all activities to me, develop these qualities, and make your goal constant. And then I will help you with my grace. You will overcome our obstacles. But if you don't listen to me, your nature will force you, your prakriti will force you. But you will suffer the consequences. The choice is yours. So that's what Sri Krishna is telling us.
Something goes wrong, and according to your perception, it is wrong, and you feel it is wrong, and without hesitation, without fear, you say, like, this is wrong, this should not be,
right,
needs to be done. So that is what you say is your ego?
No. No, that's not ego. There you are seeing something is wrong, and you are trying to fix it. Ego is where I do just for myself, for me. But here, what is good for society, what is good for others, to resist evil is not ego. That's what Mahatma Gandhi taught us, that anything that is evil must be resisted. So if something is going wrong, it is my duty to point out. If I can fix it, I should fix it. So that's not ego. Ego is selfishness, where I'm only thinking about my own benefit. I don't care what happens to others, what happens to society.
Regarding children. So like what I think, I always say, like, no, this is the right thing, this way should do. But according to his perception, it is different. So then, like, you feel like, I feel it's your ego, and he feels like it's my ego. So what is that? It happens.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, there's in every home, there's always, that's universal. There's no home where, the husband and wife 100% agree. What you basically have to maybe sit down and talk it over with each other, discuss it and see what could be the outcome of this discussion. If you are saying, let's go this way, and I'm saying, let's go this way. So sometimes you can discuss it, you can... without getting into argument about ego and all, but sit down and let us discuss it. And sometimes maybe even asking the children, if they are older enough, that this is what we feel. And so getting their input, or maybe some elder or some wise person, if there's a person whom you both look up to and you say, well, this is how I feel and this is what he feels. So, but I think mostly by talking, you can come to some kind of understanding of what is right and what is wrong. But I know sometimes, there is no solution, then it becomes difficult. That's where conflicts arise. So it may be even worthwhile. You might even say, okay, let's try it for a while your way. And then if it doesn't work, that's another way where you might say, okay, I'm willing to compromise. So in every relationship, there is always compromise. You have to see what is... But ultimately, if the goal is right, if your goal is for the child's benefit, then your advice will be always good. What is good for the child? That's what we have to look at more than what I think. See, a lot of times, like if the father wanted to become a doctor and he couldn't become, for some reason he couldn't, then he'll want all his three children to become doctors. So he's trying to live his desires through them. So you have to look at the motive. why, and remove the I and my out of it and see what is good for us, rather than what is good for me, what is good for you, what is good for the whole family, and what is good for the child. So, I don't know if that answers.
No, I was just listening to something, and that person said, the only reason you are born as human, the only reason, the only one reason is to evolve,
mm-hmm.
to meet your final destiny.
Right.
So yeah, I understand you are worried about your kids, worried about your husband, but you cannot do anything about your kids, anything about your husband, you can only do about yourself. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. They are there because of their karma. Whatever your husband thinks the different way, because probably because of his karma, the only thing you can think about is
right.
how do I surrender myself to God? That's all what we can do.
True. But that's very true, that has to be my individual goal. But sometimes as a parent, it is our duty to guide the children correctly, at least because at a 5 or 6 or 9 year old doesn't know. It's like coming to Bal Vihar. You know, they say, I don't want to go to Bal Vihar, especially once they get to be 10, 12, 13. You know, I don't enjoy. It's the same thing every time they talk. And I have so much homework and my friends don't go and all. So that time, you have to insist, you know, this is something which is good for you. And that's what we used to do to our children. They would also say the same thing. I have so much homework. I have projects. I have this and that. We used to tell them, look, there's 1.5 hour. Your whole weekend is how many hours? 60 hours. From Friday, 5 o'clock till Monday morning is 62 hours or 64 hours. Out of the only 1.5 hour, we are asking you to go. And why? Because it's good for you, not because it is benefiting me or my ego. And later on, they all acknowledged, yeah, that was so good, you took us. Because the teachings that they get here, they're not going to get in school. They're not going to get from their friends. Their parents are not going to be able to give it. We are not here, the whole organized. So same way, the choices we make are important, and that's why you have to guide your children in the right direction. And when they are little, once they become, you know, college and all, they anyway won't listen to you. Even as teenagers, they don't listen. But at least in their formative years, yes, it's a parent's duty to advise. But I, for myself, my goal should be spiritual. That's so his point is correct. Thank you. Okay, we'll end and see you next week. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhagavate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah Harihi Om.